Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
1 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to what Bill Belichick had to say in about 10 minutes or so. He was talking about the Chiefs and what he expects for them and how do they three-peat. Where do they have to improve? But we know the Olympics just wrapped up. Very successful Olympics, not only for Team USA and running away with the medal count, tying China with the most gold medals, but also from a television rating perspective, Kansas City did really, really well. It was a more entertaining Olympics, I feel like, than we've had in quite some time, and the ratings did reflect that. So in 2028, a lot of excitement around the United States and LA hosting the 2028 Summer Olympics, and one sport that is going to be in the Olympics then is flag football, and the NFL has already been kind of making a push, and there's been this thought just naturally that, well, yeah, the NFL players all want to play in it, and so How do you determine and who is making the decision on who gets these spots? Like, it's a fair question.
You could say that about any Olympic team.
How does that work? I mean, is Patrick Mahomes going to try out? Is Joe Burrow going to try out? Like, how is this all going to work? Plus, you have individuals that have been playing flag football for a very long time that are good at flag football. But also, there needs to be a little bit of a reality check.
Yeah.
For those that are playing flag football, you might have seen this go viral earlier today, and the audio is now out there. We're going to play it in a second. But there's a quarterback, and I'm sure he's very good at flag football, Darrell Doucette. He was on a podcast, and then he was on TMZ talking to them. He is 35 years old, which means he will be 39 when the Olympics takes place. He's 5'6", a buck 40. He's a quarterback.
Excuse me.
He is 5'6", a buck 40. Here's what he said about playing in the Olympics and also about why he should be the quarterback over Patrick Mahomes.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
You don't think being more accurate matters?
Oh, my gosh.
Look,
does he know the specific rules better than Mahomes? Sure, for right now. But guess what? I'll send Mahomes a PDF of the flag football rules. And if he knows he's playing in the Olympics and trying out for it or whatever, I'm pretty sure Patrick Mahomes will master the damn rules of flag football. He's not trying to learn how to program the next Microsoft update, okay? He's a football player. He will figure out the rules of flag football. And he's the best athlete that plays in the NFL right now. So this guy, and I'm sure he's very good for a flag football player, but wake the hell up. What are you doing? You're
going to
now just attack basically and make ridiculous comments about, I mean, this is stupid.
So I'm sure you've done a great job completing passes over apparently people who are somehow smaller than you. 5 foot 4, 120 pounds, I guess, are the corners in this league. But I want you to imagine for a second now the arm strength in which you have, the accuracy in which you said was an issue, and instead of whichever random guy on the flag football league who played at Coastal Carolina 10 years ago, it is, and instead it's Trent McDuffie trying to take the ball from your team. You getting it past him? Because the Nova Holmes can. You aren't.
With no pads.
You
no helmet.
Aren't. They don't even have clamped. To. I mean, the corner doesn't even have to worry about physical play at that point.
Oh, yeah.
They're not even getting pushed off the ball. This is not even meant to be an insult. Kudos to these people who've made a really
very
great
good at
career.
What they're doing. Yes,
they are great flag football players. But if it's in the Olympics, I've made it clear. I want the best football players on the planet, and that ain't you. The best football player on the planet is named Patrick Mahomes, and whichever the best wide receiver is in the entire world as a professional flag football player, he'd get wrecked by Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, 4 years from now, whoever the best receiver is 4 years from now. Yeah, 4 years from now when the Olympics happen.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Like right this second, Tyreek Hill would just burn by everybody. But in 4 years, he probably won't be on the Olympic team.
He would still burn by you.
And he probably still would. Like this, we were joking yesterday about the hot dog derby. Like just because
the speed difference.
Just because Cody or I ran at a hot dog derby and I won, thank you, doesn't mean I can win a 40-yard dash suddenly. Like it doesn't work.
We understand there are different rules and there are probably skills to like getting someone's flag or avoiding having your flag taken. But talent will outwin huge portions of that. Just physically being better than everyone will make that. Xavier Worthy would run by so fast any other person in this professional flag football league. He would make them look like they were standing still.
I've talked to you guys all this about this off the air, but this does not help my case for this, unfortunately.
Oh boy.
The Pro Bowl is a dud already.
Right.
What they need to do, the 2027 Pro Bowl should be, this is not my original idea. I saw this on Twitter.
Okay.
And I liked it. The 2027 Pro Bowl should be this flag football team, whatever, pick the best U.S. flag football national team, whatever the case may be. And then the NFL guys who are able to play, want to play, approved to play, whatever the case may be. The winner goes to the Olympics. I think everybody would love to just see the regular team get smacked around. But I think, look.
It can't be in the Pro Bowl. I mean, I would watch, but it can't be because
I think it should be.
It's the week before the
timing doesn't track.
Week before the Super Bowl. So
change it up a little bit. I would say do a one-off.
Make the Pro Bowl like the All-Star break and just put it like in a bye week in week eight.
No, do a one-off where it's after the Super Bowl. Like after the Super Bowl is done, give them 2 weeks off and then have them come back.
Someone on the
that's what it should be. The Pro Bowl should be that team collectively. Pick whatever players you want. 11, 7, whatever.
You can do that.
Whatever it
is. They'd get smoked.
No. I know that.
Someone on the Jay's Southland tow service text line, 913-586-7965, said it's easy to say you take the bigger names, but there's some truth to what the flag football player is saying. There is a learning and playing curve.
I don't
doubt that there's rule differences, but you're telling me that, like, he's talking about IQ and whether it's Mahomes or Joe Burrow, you don't think these guys are extremely intelligent? Like, flag football, super athletic, and there's obviously talent there. But Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, hell,
Josh Allen makes his bad decisions all the time.
But even whoever you think stinks, people make fun of Daniel Jones. He is still a very smart football player. To be able to diagnose defenses and know the different coverages and adjust at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah.
And we're acting like that Patrick Mahomes or any of these guys in a flag football game would not be able to understand the rules after someone explained it to them a handful of times in practice and actually made an effort for it. Get out of here.
And the rules are not,
you still
are not
step
that,
back
the
and
rules
throw
are not
the ball
that different.
To a receiver.
The rules, they play flag football in the Pro Bowl, and I would assume they use.
It's essentially like playing
rules,
7-on-7 at camp.
Exactly.
We're pretending like they don't kind of do this.
Exactly.
It's the same as them playing 7-on-7 at camp. They do that all the time, every practice, constantly.
Now, my question would be somebody asked the question that I was thinking of as well. Is American Samoa the only team?
I don't know.
It could be. I wonder, maybe, like, if you think about Canada, Mexico, maybe, I'm sure by this time, they'll come up with 10 to 15 countries that have a good enough
And again, those
flag football team to play, I guess.
Well, I mean, they're already, I mean, those teams already exist. I mean, it's not
do
like
you want to know what
football.
The International Federation of Flag Football says the country rankings are?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it.
Number one in the world, the United States of America.
And that's without
I would hope so.
NFL that's without players. The NFL players. Mexico coming in second. Japan is third. Great Britain fourth. Austria fifth. Germany down at eighth. Canada at ninth. Australia 10th.
Yeah, but these countries have been playing flag football. It's not about, I mean, the U.S. would be a favorite no matter what, it sounds like, mm-hmm. in this thing. Well, it's just whether or not we want to watch players we know the names of. It's in baseball, I know they do the World Baseball Classic, but baseball in the Olympics, if they don't allow big league players, it's going to be a bunch of guys that they can win some games maybe, but like, we don't know any of them.
The interest goes down, you would think, theoretically.
Like someone from the 903 said, I'll take Tom Brady Megatron in 4 years, and they would both win it if they had unretired. Like if they just said, well, you know what, I know we're retired, but we just want to go win a gold medal, because gold medals are cool. So we've decided Tom Brady and Calvin Johnson decided to team up flag football squad.
We'll see if the NFL allows it. Now, I will say it's such a small number of players. This isn't even like baseball. You're talking about allowing 8, 10. I don't know. You know how many you need on a roster. I have no idea.
On a roster, probably 10.
Okay.
So
I'm guessing for an Olympic roster, it's larger, but I don't know. Someone says like learning not to guard your flag is no joke. They'll figure it out.
But they'll figure that out. So the NFL would have to approve it. There's the injury risk question. All of that is all something that the NFL is going to have to figure out with, I don't know, the Flag Football Federation or something.
International Federation of Flag Football.
Sure, yes. That organization. But it's not like 70 NFL players are missing training camp. We're talking 10 or 15 of the best players, if they choose to actually participate and qualify, however they want to do it. And if you're flag football, even though you're going to upset a few people, you want to grow the sport of flag football, let the best football players play it in the Olympics too.
As someone like pointed out, it's like, have you watched Lamar Jackson play? He's like a flag football quarterback built in a laboratory. He's like the souped up Corvette version of that guy who said other guys can't do it like me. He's faster. He's taller. He's stronger. He weighs more. He throws the ball harder, and he's elusive as hell.
I do think there is a possibility that the International Federation of Flag Football does say, look, You're
that's lame.
You're not bringing these NFL players.
That's a mistake.
No, that's lame.
I see why they would do it, because it would be like
I'm not watching flag football if it's a bunch of dudes, with all due respect to this.
Daryl Duchette.
I don't know who the hell you are.
Sure.
Also, do you realize how old he's going to be? You said
39. He's 5'6".
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ.
Just stop right there. You don't even have to play the rest of it. No validation.
You cannot start any I don't care what your qualifier is after that sentence. Any sentence that starts, at the end of the day, I think I'm better than Patrick Mahomes, and that sentence is about football of any kind.
He could have said speed, and you know what? Maybe he actually has a 5% case, but he used IQ of all things. That's not the thing to use.
To comp yourself to the NFL players that might take your spot is not the right strategy. It's not the right strategy of like trying to make your case of why they shouldn't play.
He should have challenged them to a game of flag football. I'm dead serious. I think people would watch it because it would be fun to see them get smacked. Also, you're talking the talk. Let's see how good you are, Daryl or Darrell. Let's see how good you actually are. I think that would be fun. I think people would watch that maybe more than the regular flag football game at the Pro Bowl.
Well, sure.
Just because of these comments.
Yeah.
Somebody said they could go back to college players for flag football. Are they eligible to
play in the Olympics?
Because
they're getting money.
But again,
now.
It's the same thing with basketball.
Yeah.
They'd also probably be better than the professional flag football players. The Olympics is supposed to be a global event where the best people in the entire world compete in these events. I want the best possible people in those events.
It's the baseball argument, as we said. It's why we would like to see Major League Baseball allow their players in the Olympics versus, with all due respect to those guys, we just don't know who they. There's something about growing your sport, and people have to recognize is why the people were critical of the U.S. Women's Olympic basketball team. They still won gold medals, but they didn't have Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese. They're like, hey, don't you want more people to watch and grow your game?
Yeah.
Well, that's why people thought it was a mistake, and I know they still won gold.
Well, because it's like it's hurting you in the opposite. Like Flava Flav, credit to him, honestly. I can't believe we're talking about that. He like self-funded a bunch of different people who a shot putter who said, I can't even afford my rent this month. And she was an Olympic, she was competing in an Olympic event during that time. Well, the way to get money for your sport is to have attention for your sport. The way to have attention for your sport is to have the best players, have the best people, have the best, you know, like have the best product. And so, I don't know. It just doesn't seem, it does not seem like that big of a stretch for me. The second the basketball finally stopped just doing college teams and instead, like the other countries, did pros, it made sense.
Somebody said you guys don't know what you're talking about because the QB can't just take off running. Okay, I grew up playing flag football.
You're right, Mahomes wouldn't be good at this game.
I grew up playing flag football. I know this. You don't think Lamar Jackson could run his ass around for 10 seconds or whatever the hell the count is and be able to avoid... It's not going to take 5 seconds for Tyreek Hill to get open down the field. I can guarantee
it would,
you
it would
that.
Look like
it wouldn't matter.
It would look like his. I just
he doesn't have to run.
Yesterday, this is what it would look like. Yesterday, I saw a clip of Quincy Wilson, the gold medalist.
Yeah,
the track 16 and field goal
or whatever.
Yeah. And he's playing high school football now, even though he won a gold medal.
his heart's crazy, and someone,
you know, like he just takes like a pitch to the outside, gold, and some poor sucker is trying to chase his ass down. And it's embarrassing because he's an Olympic gold medalist at running. So you, random high school corner, probably not going to get him. And so, like, some of it is just that. You can have all the skill you want, dive all you want. The field is smaller, no doubt. Lamar can make you look bad. Do you remember those, like, clips of him in college just, like, stopping and
guys
people
going
just
right by
flying by? You can do that.
Somebody said, does this count as bulletin
board
material
from, Australia?
Yes, sure, no. He probably doesn't pay attention to this
He's got that marked down.
I think that honestly might be more of the fun as well. Like, if they made it like the actual Pro Bowl thing, like a game. Mahomes, listen, like, he could, the amount of trash talk would be outstanding. Because there, not that there's any repercussions anyways, but he can talk smack to this guy.
He's not going to give this guy. What? He doesn't need to get me with, again, not trying to be a complete a-hole to this guy, but he's a nobody. Mahomes doesn't need to pay attention to this guy. He just, I mean, it's just, let's be realistic.
Like, what if they were against each other?
I'm saying,
you know? Austria's quarterback.
But he's changing
his nationality and citizenship.
This happens sometimes in the Olympics.
No, but like, you still have to qualify. I can't just submit a paper and represent a different country. There's a reason why Joel Embiid could play for different countries.
He moves to Austria. He's determined to become their quarterback for the Olympic Games. And then Mahomes is on the field, you know.
Don't even get me.
If you want flag football to be relevant, you got to let the NFL players play. It's that simple.
That Joel Embiid thing, I wish you wouldn't have brought him up. It triggered me.
He could have played for multiple countries.
No. For him to come out and say, after this year, I might go play for somebody else. He was chasing a gold medal. Like how KD was chasing a ring. He's chasing a gold medal, and then he's going to go play.
He got it with the U.S.
I know, but he... it just doesn't come across as genuine. Oh, I represent this country. If you're going to bounce again, it'd be the third time he bounced.
Thinking of football and some quarterback play, we expected this to happen. I don't know why it took so long, but officially out of Denver, Sean Payton has announced that Bo Nix is the Broncos.
Wow.
Bo Nix. Where are you guys on Bo Nix as far as your confidence level? He's good.
I'm going to be breaking down all 22
films for you guys. As I said, everybody has a different degree of good or a successful season. I think he will fit in nicely with this offense. You have a coach that's actually invested in the quarterback. Sean Payton was not invested in Russell Wilson last year.
The opposite.
So that is going to help Bo Nix. He, you know, has some skill sets that I think are limited in the NFL, but Sean Payton, to his credit, I think will be able to maximize it. I think he'll be all right. Like, is he going to be a rookie of the year? I would be stunned, absolutely floored, especially when Caleb Williams exists on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. He's got such the narrative a thousand times.
But Bo Nix, like, I think Bo Nix is going to be just trash? No, I do not. I don't think he's going to, like, he'll have a better year than Bryce Young had last season in his rookie year. And that's
I'm not willing to
much.
Lock that in, but yeah, that is a low bar.
A very low bar.
I still can't get over by the time he'd get through his rookie contract, he'd be 29. Like, that's not insignificant. I don't know. I'm not going to – I don't know if Bo Nix is going to be – I was not in love with his game coming out of college. I did not think he'd make some, like, spectacular pro. I do think he landed in a pretty good spot there. A pretty good spot there in Denver.
Like,
their offensive line is Their weapons are
Corlin Sutton, and then who
like,
else?
No one. And so – I think it's going to be a bit of a slog for Bo Nix.
Well, they drafted Bo Nix's college teammate, but he's a rookie, Franklin or whatever, right? We talked about him in Kansas City. Speedster.
Everybody knew this was the case when 2 days ago, Sean Payton started talking about how good Zach Wilson's been, which was just his pleading any other team in the league to possibly give him like a conditional seventh to take him off his hands. Like, everyone knew this was the case when he pretty much just started bragging about how good Zach Wilson has been instead of talking about his other quarterback. And look, stinks for Zach Wilson. Thought he might have a chance to start one more time, and now it'll be Bo Nix.
Every single time, I don't know if it, I'm sure this would get annoying, but if Bo Nix throws, if he goes right down the field and throws a touchdown, you guys are getting tagged on Twitter by myself.
For one touchdown?
Oh, yeah.
If he throws a pick,
yeah.
Can I, you know?
Yes, oh, likewise.
Okay, all right.
That's, likewise. That's Bo Nix, baby.
But what's, again, it's, I get it, you're supportive, Mike. Well, what's your, like, let me ask you, what is your, like, what is he doing this year other than playing it through a season and staying healthy and having an average year? Like, that's not really acting like,
he's better than
amazing.
Caleb Williams this year? Like, do you think he's better than Drake May or Jaden Daniels?
I think he's better than Drake May. I do not think he's better than Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I would say a...
McCarthy's off the board now. I'm
right, right. For his rookie season, I think... I don't know, 20 touchdowns under... If he has a positive touchdown to interception ratio, like 2010, 2012...
That'd be a good year.
I think it's a solid rookie season. Yeah. I think...
I don't think he'll have that, but yeah.
To me, I'm not saying that he's like a top 10 quarterback. I've never said that. I think he's his peak is like Baker Mayfield, solid quarterback, might win you a playoff game or two, but, and that's it. And
so a journeyman NFL quarterback.
I don't know. I guess it depends on...
Baker's now. So
depends on how long...
That's not that good of a career. It's not a bad career, but like if that's all the Broncos got out of this pick, then great news for the Chiefs.
Oh, who's had a better career, Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson?
I mean, Deshaun Watson was in multiple playoff games and got the largest contract in NFL history.
I know.
I have to look at the stats.
Right now, I'm just saying.
Who would I rather have, a quarterback week one? I mean, they both stink, but I'll pick Baker, I guess. I mean, I think Deshaun sucks at this point.
I don't think Baker stinks. See, that I think...
So I said Deshaun stinks. I
think he's going to be a fine quarterback who will play.
He'll be in the league 10, for a while.
10 to 12 years. I think everybody, the consensus is, oh, he's going to be, it sounded like from you guys at least, was he's going to be a bust. I don't think he's going to be a bust. I think he's going to be fine.
I think he'll be a starter here, and then I get one more chance to start, and it won't work out.
He will be, I guess his peak, might be, dare I say, Andy Dalton.
Well, that's just a
solid quarterback.
Sad sentence.
Solid quarterback.
That's great
but
news again for the Chiefs.
Solid quarterback, but he's never considered really good.
So not a problem.
Upon looking at the numbers, Baker Mayfield has had the better career than Deshaun Watson, who did take like 2.5-4 years off.
And you're putting
otherwise their stats would be pretty close.
And you're putting Baker top 15.
This is why
top 17.
By the way,
I think he's middle of the road.
This is why
he's
said
not bad,
there's a good chance that the Chiefs could go undefeated in the division. Right now, walking into the season, the quarterbacks Patrick Mahomes will face in the division are second-year coach. Like, Sean Payton's been around, but, like, second-year in the system, rookie quarterback. The other one is first full year as a head coach and Antonio Pierce, Gardner Minshew at quarterback, and first year with the Chargers, new offense, new weapons with Justin Herbert. That does not sound like murderer's row in the AFC West. I know there's not talentless quarterbacks in the division, but that doesn't exactly sound daunting, does it?
No. No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
I mean, yeah, the division issues have not changed just because Bo Nix has looked good in the preseason. It still is a crappy division. The Justin Herbert thing has only made it seem like an easier division with him dealing with an injury heading into the start of the season. And then Gardner Minshew, we know what he is. You were like, I guess that's what I would ask you, Drew. Do you think Bo Nix will have a better career than Gardner Minshew, who's been a backup, has had a chance to start a few times, is going to be in the league for a while? Do you think he'll be better than that?
Yes. Okay. All right. I think he's going to be a guy maybe in 8 to 10 years we look, oh, he's still a starter, but he's not ever going to crack a top 10 list. I don't think he ever is going to crack a top 10 list.
So by that, if I knew that was the case, fire the Broncos, I'd have never drafted him.
Yeah, but
I'm not settled for that.
Not everybody
had no choice. They were not going to roll out Jared Stidham. I don't think they could do it.
I hear what you're saying, Cody, but also you can't everybody's searching for the next Mahomes, but like the reason why he's Mahomes is because he is the only guy. Like I totally get what you're saying. Like that. Well, then that's not good enough if that's what he's.
I wouldn't lock that in if I were Denver.
No,
you know?
But
I just keep looking.
You can't not draft a quarterback if you're like, he's not ever going to be a top three quarterback. Well, can't draft him. Like that's just they're top three because there's only three of those dudes.
Mm-hmm. And some teams are too good to get in the realm of being in that conversation.
But you take them thinking that that's what they can be. You always take them thinking that's what it can be.
Bo Nix is never going to be a threat to the Chiefs long term.
Correct.
No. Yeah, I don't think so at all.
But he should be the starter.
He's basically the same age as Mahomes.
They should never have even given first team reps to Jared Stidham this offseason.
So someone said, so he's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is better than Bo Nix. Way better.
People hate on Kirk Cousins. It's a very low-hanging fruit.
It's like the Nickelback of quarterbacks, right? Yeah, everyone just likes to... it's like they've had a very successful career and made a lot of money. And then people are like, but I hate that song, Photograph. And so they just decide that Kirk Cousins is the enemy.
You can put Kirk Cousins in the same conversation as Philip Rivers or Eli Manning, minus the Super Bowl.
I would put him in the Eli Manning. I would put him... Philip Rivers is a good comp.
I think Kirk might be better than both of them, to be honest with you, but...
At some point, results are results. Now, I think the primetime record stuff just is that's a quarterback win-loss thing. There's so many other factors that go into that and why Kirk Cousins on primetime struggled for many, many years. Like, quarterback win-loss stats in regular season, I'll weigh them more in the playoffs. You want to be critical of Kirk Cousins' playoff record? I'll hear that. Yeah. Regular season, we've mentioned this. If you're just going to say regular season quarterback win-loss, then Alex Smith, you're saying, is a top three quarterback of the last decade. And does anybody actually think that? Because win-loss-wise in the regular season, Alex Smith, for a stretch of 5 years, was one of the best regular season quarterbacks we've seen. But nobody actually believes he was better than some of the other guys that you just like. Yeah. Very good career. We all like Alex Smith, but that's why you got to be careful with the win-loss record in the regular season. There's so many other factors that go into what that win or loss looked like. Was his starting wide receiver out that game that he lost? Was his best pass rusher on defense out that game as well? Or was everybody available? You have to go deeper into the win-loss record stuff. Anyway, all right, guys, let's get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold, and let's talk about Bill Belichick. We went around late there with the news of Bo Nix being the starting quarterback now at Denver, but what Belichick had to say the Chiefs need to do for the three-peat.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Missouri Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops, and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Calm. What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, Royals in action again tonight at Kauffman Stadium. 7:10 first pitch against the Angels. Trying to win this series are the Royals after dropping it yesterday. Michael Lorenzen gets the nod on the bump tonight for KC right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 6 o'clock. 3.5 games back. The latest standings in the AL Central, tied with the Twins, trailing the Guardians.
Somebody asked me earlier, do you cheer for Johnny Cueto? I said, of course. You can cheer for Johnny Cueto, and then right before the game starts, like, Johnny Cueto, like, all right, Johnny Cueto, here for part of a World Series. happy for you, my guy, and then hope he gives up 10 runs in the first.
That's right.
You know, that's all. Right. It's a little of both. But yes, it's absolutely fine. I wouldn't worry about it on that end. Johnny Cueto's part of a World Series, right? Next up on Watch Training, Pete Carroll is returning to USC. No, he's not taking the head coaching job away from an already established head coach. He's going to teach. According to Pete Carroll in a radio interview earlier today, he is going to become an adjunct professor at USC and teach a course or two.
Well, I thought about UMKC. In the upcoming
year. Not UMKC. That's where I'll be teaching.
I see.
Is there any?
Sorry, in the break, I was responding to a student. He was asking a question about something.
Listening to the show now?
God, I don't know.
Is there any inkling?
Probably not. They're like 22-year-old kids. They're not going to listen to
What is Pete Carroll teaching? Do we know?
I don't know yet. I don't think it's like football 101.
Leadership or something.
Leadership.
It's probably a leadership class or something.
Yeah, I'd say it's something like that. That'd be my guess, right?
That's typically how that goes, but
maybe you could teach an interview class.
How to bring good energy
in an interview situation.
To walk and chew gum really fast at the same time. That's Pete Carroll's class.
I mean,
how to be 70 years old and just come with a boatload of energy every day.
It's still weird that he just got like quietly fired in Seattle. I understand that they like, oh no, mutual. That dude got fired. Pete Carroll got fired. That was a job he still wanted. He had said he wanted it like 2 weeks before they fired his ass.
There's probably a line for that class too, because if you think I can take a class, I mean, even if you like the class or if you don't like it, just as a random class to take, why not take one from Pete Carroll?
But although I'll be honest, Pete Carroll is not grading a single thing in that class. He's going to have like four TAs knocking that out. Pete Carroll's not grading your paper. He'll talk to you in class, but he's not grading.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would fully agree with that. Next up on What's Trending, we mentioned this during the random question of the day as well, but Travis Kelce is going to have a part in Happy Gilmore 2. We already know he's got an FX series getting ready to start this fall. He's going to be on that Amazon Prime Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity show. And now Adam Sandler was on late night television yesterday. I believe it was Jimmy Fallon. And he was talking about that. And here's how it sounded.
And
there's going to be some cameos in there.
There's going to be a lot of that. Yeah.
I heard, do you know Travis Kelce wants to be part of this?
Yes.
He talked about it.
Travis has been, he mentioned it, and so we have a nice something for Travis. He's going to come by, and he's cool. Very nice guy. You guys would love him in real life. What a big, handsome guy. And
He's a stud,
and he's so funny. And
So Travis Kelce going to have a part of some sort in Happy Gilmore 2. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I don't know if you guys saw during the break. We were just talking about the flag football a quarterback that said he's got basically more football, flag football IQ than Mahomes. Mahomes did quote tweet, "I'm stunned. I really am.
No, I am too.
I'm somewhat stunned he's even giving this individual a time of day." But he responded with the gif
50
of like,
Cent like, meme like, where he's like, "Why are you saying F me?
Me?
Like it was an old 50 Cent meme when he was talking about it. He's like FTI. He's like, "Why F me? What did I do?" So, which is a great meme usage by Patrick Mahomes. Like, "The hell did I do? I didn't say anything about taking your spot in flag football 4 years from now. Leave me the hell out of this."
I'm really surprised he even gave this guy like the attention.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of
God, man.
That's fantastic.
It's a great use of that.
It is.
Good job,
all right, we wanted to get to what Bill Belichick had to say, though, because he, of course, is someone that you respect when you're discussing the likelihood of winning multiple rings. Now, he never got a three-peat. That was something they didn't do. The Chiefs have a chance to do that and be the only team in NFL history. But here's what he said the Chiefs have to improve on if they're, in fact, going to win three in a row.
I think the bigger issues are going to be on defense. You know, they couldn't turn the ball over. Look, they played very well in the playoffs, so that's where it counts, and that's the most important thing. But overall, as a team, run defense, turnovers, you know, I think that's an area that they're going to want to improve in. And I just think it's going to be tough this year. They're a good team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. I just think this third year for it all to fall into place 3 years in a row is tough. I think if anybody can do it, it's probably Kansas City. But it won't be easy.
So he says it's the defense. That's where they got to go improve on. And look, they were the number two defense in football last year. Some of the things he said in that answer, a lot of people brought up. And that is, it got to be more opportunistic, the turnover battle.
But is that the bigger thing they need out of this to three-peat? I feel like they need their offense to be better to three-peat. Well, they can't rely on the defense every year to win the Super Bowl. It's got to be offense's time to hold the torch, in my opinion.
Bill being a defensive guy is my guess, is where that's coming from.
I think that that's probably, and like that's where I'm trying to take it in a grain of salt. Bill Belichick's entire dynasties, and Tom Brady is a great quarterback. He's the all-time great right now. But his dynasties were built on defense. The reason why they went to as many Super Bowls and won as many Super Bowls as they did is because of how few points they let up in a postseason. If you've seen the postseason record of Patrick Mahomes when the team gives up 24 or more points, it's shockingly good. Tom Brady played in Super Bowls that were like 9-6 where they got the victory. So I'm sure Bill is thinking if they got to do that, that's the case. In my opinion, it's just not. I think the offense probably matters more. In the three Super Bowls that they've won, two have been low scoring, I would say. One has been high scoring. The Philadelphia Phillies one, or Phillies. They're coming to town this weekend. The Eagles one was really high scoring. So, like, that one was out of control. The other ones were pretty low scoring, a huge chunk of the game. Didn't even get to the mid-20s in an overtime Super Bowl last year. Playoff games tend to score. Points are a little harder to come by. But that's harder for everybody. It's more important this year. I think if they three-peat, they have to be a top five offense. I think the three-peat, they do not have to be a top five defense.
They don't have to be top five. I don't think they will be also. I think if you told me they're both top 10, that to me is absolutely good enough when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback to win a Super Bowl. I think some of the elements in his answer I agree with. The age thing doesn't mean Chris Jones is older, but he's not 34. They're one of the younger defenses in all the NFL. So this notion of, you know, you got to worry about guys getting older or anything like that, I don't know if that's something that fits this team at all. Trent McDuffie is extremely young. He's your number one corner. George Karlaftis on one of your ends is still only in what, his third year in the NFL.
It's pretty young defense. Chris defense doesn't, not even just from an age, it's hard to be consistently a top five defense. Now, Chris Jones helps because the teams who do that are the teams that have like Aaron Donald in the middle.
But part of the scenario, you're right, defense is something that changes more year to year or every couple of years. But some of that, we say, is because you're trying to still retain those star players.
Correct.
The Chiefs, they lost L'Jarius Sneed. We all agree that that was a significant loss. Do I think that that is why they go from second to 15th? No. Can they go from second best to eighth? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. If they don't improve and they lose Sneed and they don't force more turnovers, or they lose Sneed and their run defense doesn't improve. Yeah, those are all factors in how they slide down.
Their run defense has been mediocre for years, and it's never stopped them from winning a Super Bowl. It straight up has not mattered. And a lot of times, though, is because of the pressure the offense puts on teams. I'm convinced that part of the reason they've been bad on run defense is because they haven't had to play the run. Because teams constantly know and chase points against the Chiefs like no other team. So the Chiefs, in a way, part of their defensive strategy is conceding a little on run defense, knowing that someone might run better against you that day because it doesn't matter. They're chasing points. One bad run could sink a drive against your defense because you're so hungry for points to keep up with the Chiefs. That it mattered. Last year, the run defense finally felt like it mattered because every game was lower scoring because the offense could have put in points. You start scoring 28, 29, 30 points a game again, no team is even going to go in there being like, well, we could really attack their run defense. Is that going to get you to 29 points? Having a really good day on the ground. This isn't high school. I don't care how many yards you run for. I don't care if you got prime Derrick Henry like they faced in the postseason one time against a mediocre Chiefs run defense at that time. I don't care what you got. You're not going to score 29 points, then you're not going to beat us. Like, that's how I feel about the run defense. The rest of the defense, I think, is probably true. And turnovers probably do matter. They're going to have to be better in that regard if they want to win a Super Bowl again. They're pretty bad in turnover differential.
I mean, that's just because they were
still
so good.
Won the Super Bowl.
That's just because they were so good.
It's hard and because...
I think we even talked about that like a couple weeks ago, is... Statistically, like if you look at what they did, they didn't need to force turnovers because you were not getting past the 50-yard line a lot of times. Like you weren't getting past the 40 against that team. They wouldn't let you get by there, whether it was turnovers or whether it was you're just not going to be able to throw on these guys.
Well, and one thing that has happened typically with Spags defenses, whether it was here or his time with the Rams. Well, yeah, but that and as the game, not season, but also as the game goes on, you know, the first half, we've seen times, guys, where the first half, everybody's frustrated, like, Spags, well, you know, people get critical of him, first half.
The Raiders
nobody,
game.
Yeah, nobody was better in the NFL last year than adjusting at halftime. Like, it's always we'll see what the coach make adjustments he can make at halftime. It's kind of a cliche thing. Nobody made better adjustments at halftime than Steve Spagnuolo and their defense. Teams got away with some things. Maybe they didn't show on film early.
Pick on you a little bit, get some bigger plays.
The Chiefs adjusted better than anybody. Second half defense was as good as it gets in the league.
It was the game in Vegas where they beat the Raiders. Ian O'Connell went right down the field twice, I think, and they were up
first
either,
drive.
They were up either 7-0, 10-0, or whatever the case was. And people were like, "What?"
And then
what was that? And then I sent out the tweet. Of course, Aiden O'Connell's looking like whoever the hell. And then the defense just bowed up. But yeah, that's the most profound example I think of. They would let you go score. You have one opportunity to score, and it's that first drive. And if you don't score, too bad, because Spags is going to make those adjustments. They're going to be ready to go. And they always.
Oh yeah, I found your tweets. This is when you were tweeting Aiden O'Connell as if he was a rap artist.
Yeah, well, no, that's what it was.
This was, I forgot. I just found these again.
That's what it was.
that drive was. Featured a new single, Aiden O'Connell, Not Flustered, featuring Jacoby Myers.
That's right.
I hate that tweet so much.
Well, we talked about it that time. We definitely gave him a hard time. I don't think that was my exact stance on it then.
I did that. I did that to piss you off and everybody else off because I wanted to be funny, but. Every single time last year, because I think there was a point like week 15, 16 of the season when we were saying eventually this defense is not going to have a good game and the offense is going to have to show up. But it never happened.
That never came to fruition.
The defense always came through and was ready to go. I thought that was really, really, I don't know if it was like surprising, but it was just in terms of dominance, they didn't need to force a turnover because they were just that damn good.
But at the same time, so I also think they have to be a better team than they were last year to win. Like, I don't think they're going to three-peat being as good of a team as they were last year. I don't know how the hell they won the team. Like, part of last year is still like, how the hell did you win the Super Bowl? You had no wide receivers. The offensive line was a mess for a while. And look, the simple answer is because they had the number one or number two defense in the NFL. And they still got Patrick Mahomes. So I can simplify it. But like all the teams who have tried for the three-peat, there's a reason they come up short. And it's because they're not even as, like, I think you got to be better. You got to improve. I think it's the Packers, and they didn't even go to the postseason. The 74 Dolphins made it to, they didn't even make it. Nobody's even made it back to the Super Bowl. As close as they've gotten is just being in the conference championship game again. So, I mean, you know, these plenty of teams have had a chance at it. The Cowboys, the Broncos, bunch of teams, more teams have missed the playoffs than have been back to the conference title game. So, I mean, it says everything you know how hard it's going to be to do this, and they know that. It's just, man, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I have a really hard time imagining that they won't at least be one game away. One game, no matter what I know about this team right now. Yeah, that is still, there's just so many stats. It just starts turning into like the Tony Gwynn stuff. We're getting very close to like the Tony Gwynn stuff where it's like, you know, be like, well, you know, Chris Davis this year for the Orioles struck out 214 times. That's more than Tony Gwynn did his entire career. It's always like, his stats are always so absurd because they make, and Ted Williams, right? They never make any sense. Bobby Wood Jr. is trying to become, do you know that Bobby Wood Jr. is trying to become the only like 11th player in MLB history since Ted Williams to hit 400 at home? He's hitting 405 at Kauffman Stadium this year.
And you only have what? 16 more times to see him at the K before the postseason?
Now he's going to have to keep hitting 400 in order for that to work.
See,
but there have not been very many players. I think it was Sam McDowell who had put out the stats on it in an article. But it was, there's not that guy who hit 400 even at home.
Stats like that, Cody, are why Bobby Witt should be MVP over Aaron Judge.
I thought it was Sam McDowell. Now I'm looking for it. I don't see him. I'm trying to give credit to the wrong person. Doesn't matter. The point is, he's hitting
400. Yeah, Drew, there's a lot of numbers that obviously favor Bobby Wood Jr. The defensive stuff, is, to me, is his biggest case of
team what, separate, obviously is
what separates
Judge.
Him. But, I mean, we can keep talking about the MVP stuff, and he's going to finish second, I think, though. I mean, I believe that the Royals have to win the Central. The Yankees cannot win the East for there to be a real close vote. We can agree that it shouldn't require that, but we're talking about what we...
Because it's New York.
What will happen versus what we kind of think should... Like, any other year, Bobby Wood Jr. would be running away with the MVP. Any other year,
is it because
he'd
of
be
New
minus 2,000.
But he's not because Aaron Judge is also having an absurd season.
Yeah,
should it. Defensive aspect of Bobby Wood's game weigh more heavily in the MVP conversation? Absolutely, and it doesn't, unfortunately. But the Yankees, the media market, the fact that if they end up winning their division and the Royals don't, that all will hurt Bobby's case.
It's just last guy, by the way, to hit 400 at home was Barry Bonds in 2004. Was he pretty good then?
Yeah, if you're in the and if you're in company with Barry Bonds, or you're becoming the 11th player in the history of a sport that has existed for over 100 years, over 120. I mean, however long it's been around.
200 years. Yeah,
however long it's been around, that. I know Aaron Judge has had a great season, but if you're in that, and I don't know what his numbers are.
He probably also has some historical context that he's doing.
If you're in that conversation of the last guy to do this is Barry freaking Bonds, then it's, I know the New York thing obviously plays a factor too in it, but.
Somebody, it was just yesterday too, somebody sent out some stat. It was like, if you took away every single stat from Barry Bonds' 7 MVP seasons, so you just erased all 7 of his MVP seasons, his slash line would still be like, 310 with a 450 on base and 450 home runs or something. Just
stupid.
I mean, again, it's like if you just erased his 7 MVP years as if they didn't exist. And remember, Barry Bonds won 4 straight MVPs in his 30s when he was all kinds of roided up.
Right.
But he was, I mean, it was a nutty run.
Yeah, he's an all-time great. And as far, I mean, as we said, with Bobby Wood Jr., in most years, this wouldn't even be much of a debate. He would just be running away with it. But the only problem is, like, you referenced some historical things for Bobby. There's tons of those. But if someone's trying to make the case for Aaron Judge, they can do the similar things for him. That's the issue. Like, I mean, I just found one. It took me 10 seconds.
It won't take long.
Aaron Judge this year joined the likes of Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and Ted Williams as the only players in baseball history to record 25 extra base hits and 22 walks in a single month. That puts him in pretty good company, too.
And there's 10 more stats for a judge like that and 10 more for Bobby Wood Jr.
100%.
My issue is that I think he's being dinged for not baseball reasons. There are baseball reasons why this should just be at least a 50-50 race, and you decide what matters more to you personally. Home runs or stolen bases and defense and all the other things that go into the small parts of the game that benefit Bobby Wood Jr., or you just care about slugging homers.
Yeah,
that's not the only thing, but I'm just saying.
NL MVP right now?
I don't remember.
Let's see. NL Rookie of the Year is Jackson Merrill's got the favorite now.
He just turned into the favorite.
Cy Young is Chris Sale. Who the hell's NL MVP? I'm drawing a blank. I'll be honest.
I don't remember now.
Oh, Ohtani. Duh.
Oh, wait. Ohtani? Shohei?
Ohtani. Duh.
Has he had a good year again?
It's Ohtani. Duh.
Shocker.
Yeah. Issue is the MVP.
Shohei Ohtani is not just the favorite to win it. He's minus 3,000.
Co MVP and be done with it.
No, we don't need co MVPs though.
Co MVP.
It's voted on by the Baseball Writers Association.
That's never going to happen.
Of America. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're heading out to Las Vegas. We'll be broadcasting live from Circa Resort and Casino tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. We'll see how things go. Cody, the text line's giving you your list.
They've told me all kinds of places to go.
I will do my best, guys. I will do my best to get
some
Cody
nice food options
to those out there. Not just food options.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys from Vegas tomorrow.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.